let's just sing a chorus of this song. It feels so good just being here again. It feels so good feeling what I feel again. Oh, there is nothing I like better than when God's children get together. Feels so good, oh, just being here again. Oh, it feels so good just being here again. Oh, it feels so good feeling what I feel again. Oh, and there is nothing I like better than when God's children get together. Feels so good just being here again. Well, it feels so good, oh, just being here again. Yes, it feels so good feeling what I feel again. Oh, and there is nothing I like better than when God's children get together. Feels so good, oh, just being here again. Sing it again, it feels so good, oh, just being here again. Yes, it feels so good feeling what I feel again. Oh, and there is nothing I like better than when God's children get together. Feels so good, oh, being here again. One more time. Oh, it feels so good just being here again. Well, it feels so good feeling what I feel again. And there is nothing than when God's children get together. There is nothing I like better than when God's children get. Oh, and there is nothing I like better than when God's children get together. There is nothing I like better than when God's children get together. Feels so good, oh, being here again. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A week ago, we couldn't meet. Amen. A week ago, the story was different. But we're here tonight, and we can give God glory, and we can give him praise. Amen. You still got your house. You still got your car. The Lord watched over you. He protected you. He protected your family. Amen. And we got more than 1,000 reasons and more than 1,000,000 reasons to give God praise. Amen, amen, amen. Somebody would love to be in our place tonight. Amen, but we thank God for his divine protection. We thank him. Amen. I had a prayer request that was sent to me that I wanted to make mention of before Brother Quentin will come. He's going to speak for us tonight. Brother Donnie Reagan sent a text a little earlier today, and he was saying this is the one-year anniversary for his daughter, Erica, who passed away due to complications there with cancer. But she left behind some children, and the children, their birthday is the same day that Mama passed. And they're twins that's something that they, you know, have to carry for the rest of their life. And so their dad was asking them, is there anything I can do for you today for your birthday and everything? And the twins told dad, they said, just take us to church. And I said, my God, my God, my God, you know, just what a request from those girls, and I believe they were girls, but just the children, just what a request from them, and we just want to uplift them in prayer that God would just bless them, and amen, and just strengthen them during this time, and told them that we certainly remember them in prayer. So let's take that request, amen, before God's throne as Brother Quentin prepares to come. Father, we thank you that we could come to you, and we could bring every request, knowing that you are God that hears and you answer prayer. To hear this request from Brother Reagan on his grandkids, and Lord, 1 year here, the children are reflecting upon Mama and how you called her home. And then on their birthdays, they have to, Lord, just endure this. And the one request that Daddy asks of them, and or Dad just asks what they would want, and their request is take us to church. Lord, I just believe that's a request that touched your heart. And we're asking that you would bring strength to these children. We ask that you bring strength to this husband, Brother Reagan, and his wife, with it being their daughter. And God, so many that are feeling the impact of this, Lord, is so fresh, just being 1 year ago. And we know that you're able to turn mourning into dancing. So we ask that you would intervene, Father, on behalf of this family. Give them your supernatural strength. Even now, Father, is our prayer. And Lord, as we would just turn the order of the service tonight, our precious Brother Quentin would come to minister. Use him for your glory. Anoint him afresh, Father, even right now. And may the Spirit of God have preeminence in this place. God, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's welcome, amen, Brother Quentin tonight as he comes. Amen. Say, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you,
brother. God bless you all. We're going to say a quick word of prayer before we get right into the meeting. Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you see we've come assembled before you. God, we have many needs in our heart, O Lord God. We have weaknesses, O Lord Jesus Christ. We're carrying on to your word, O Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking to you to do something, O Lord God. O Lord, we know that you did a great work in the prophet, O Lord, when he was on the scene, O Lord God. Many mighty works, O Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're thankful for it, O Lord God. But Lord, we need something today, O Lord God. Lord, you place these different gifts, O Lord God, the ministry, O Lord God, you place it down so that you would still, people would still have some way, O Lord, that they could have a need in their heart contacted by you, O Lord God, and know for certain that it would be thus saith the Lord, something that they can sleep on, O Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you see the needs of the people, O Lord God, the many sickness, O Lord God, the many requests, O Lord God. The financial burdens, O Lord Jesus Christ, the pressures of life, O Lord God, just the stress it is just to be a Christian, make a stand in this last day, O Lord God. It's not easy, O Lord God. But Lord, here we are once again on a Wednesday, O Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord God, not just Sunday Christians, O Lord God, but Christians that regardless of the time, O Lord, regardless of how tired we are, O Lord Jesus Christ, we could be at home, O Lord Jesus Christ, recovering from work and stuff and preparing for the next day, but we're deciding, O Lord God, to make a sacrifice to come into your house, O Lord God, to give you praise, O Lord God. Lord, I pray, O Lord God, that you would have compassion like you did when you were in flesh on the earth and you saw the multitude and they were hungry, O Lord Jesus Christ. You saw that they were hungry, O Lord God, and you fed them. You gave them strength, O Lord God, because they were following you, O Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, O Lord, that you would speak a word through me. Get me out of the way, O Lord God. Answer a need to their heart, O Lord Jesus Christ, so they can go away in strength, O Lord God. May you be with the service from the beginning to the end. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 So we are going to continue our lesson on the spiritual gifts of the church. And we're going to do our scripture reading from 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11, just so we can kind of look at those, look at the next gifts that we're going to talk about. Amen. All right. Just say amen once you get there. I'll just start reading it. So it says here, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And you may take your seats. So far we've talked about the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, the gifts of healing, miracles. And so now we're going to turn to the gifts of prophecy. I think Brother Jack has done a real good job of talking about the gifts of tongues and interpretation, telling you what they are, how they're to be used into the church. So we're going to start with this gift of prophecy. And I looked online at a definition on Merriam of what prophecy meant. And the prophecy, what they said was an inspired utterance of a prophet, right? So a prophecy is a two-way street where it tells you of things that are going to happen. And it also can tell you about past events as well. So prophecy doesn't care what happens in between, right? It already sees the outcome done.
Right.
That's Amen. All that it's looking at. So, Amen. And we heard the story from our brother that preached on Sunday about the man that was blind. He went up to the prophet, and we know he said, all right, you got your sight.
Yes.
When the prophet said that, he had already seen the man with the eyes.
Right.
So when the man went back and started doubting, and he started doubting, and he came back up to the prophet, he said, hey, I thought you said that you were healed. And the prophet said, I thought that you believed. So the prophet had already saw him with eyes and couldn't see nothing else. So this gift of prophecy is a mighty prophecy in that when we can find an individual that can come to you and speak a word to you,
glory.
It doesn't matter what happens in between.
Right.
Right? It doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how long it takes.
Amen.
That's all that God's looking at, and God expects us to just look at the
Amen.
Same thing. Right? So I want to kind of give an experience because I remember one time I was with the youth. I think it was Joseph and his sisters. We were at the basketball court on Haverhill because we were having like a little youth outing, and I was out there just being with the youth. And this one lady had seen me with the youth, and so I got to talking to her, and she's a Christian. I was talking to her. She said she was a minister and stuff like that, and so I'm kind of hearing her and stuff like that. And she admired the way that I was working with the youth. And so she kind of spoke a word over me and said, you're going to be doing something for the youth or somewhere along that lines. And it kind of struck me, and I was like, okay, that just sounds interesting. I'm always careful about those things, especially when they come from people that I know or don't have the fullness of the word.
Uh-huh.
But then some month later, or I think it was the next year later, Brother Jack had come up to me and said, hey, do you want to start teaching for the youth? And so that made me think back to the time where she kind of spoke that word. Because gifts and callings are without repentance. Don't need the Holy Spirit
That's
to have
right
a gift.
Amen.
If you have the gift of prophecy
Amen.
And that spirit comes over you and utters a word to somebody
Amen.
And it's God's word, it'll come
Amen.
To pass. And so that made me look back and say, oh, wow, okay, so she spoke that word over me. And the gift of prophecy is not gender exclusive like
All
other
right.
ministries. No,
yes.
females can speak
Amen.
A word, get a word of prophecy and speak it over your life.
That's
right. And so but we have to put an emphasis on this gift because the spirit of prophecy is an interesting gift and it's an easy gift to understand. They speak a word. It's a word given by God. You believe it. It comes to pass.
Yes.
How do I know of confidence that what she said was true? Well, it came to pass.
Amen.
It's simple as that.
Amen.
When God speaks a word,
Amen.
It just comes to pass.
Right.
You,
Amen.
There's no question about it because
right.
it's a living thing now because
right.
God's word is a living thing,
yeah.
right?
Amen.
But yes. we have to put a real emphasis on this gift and caution because it's tied to end time prophecy and stuff. So we're going to turn to Matthew 24:24. We're going to go through some Bible verses that kind of help us kind of understand. Because it's not just important to understand what a gift is, but it's important to understand how it has to operate within the church, how it can be used, because it can be used for good, and it can also be used for bad, right? So reading from Matthew 24, it says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And I like how the Bible puts this inside of here, that when you are elect and you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't ever think that you're above the point of being deceived, right? Don't ever think that just because you're going to church, and this is one reason why you young folk, you have to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can't depend upon your parents' experience coming into church every single Sunday as to hold you. No, you need the Word of God inside yourself to be able to shift through the deception, right? So, and the Bible clearly says that it will come through false prophets with false prophecies, and it will deceive the very elect, meaning that things would look so close to being the real thing that it would very test you. And God, and the reason why that Jesus Christ could actually say this thing and give us confidence that with the Holy Ghost will overcome is because when he was tempted, he was taken up to the mountain. Now, Satan didn't tempt him with drugs, didn't tempt him with women, didn't tempt him with any kind of, you would think, as worldly sin. He tempted him with the Word of God. He gave him the Word of God. And when it says tempt, that doesn't mean that Jesus just brushed it off. The devil just came into his head and he said, hey, this is and Jesus said, all right, just get thee behind me, whatever. No, Jesus sat there and tempted him, was like, oh, hold on a second. This thing sounds really, really, really close. And we know that temptation is not sin, but you're still kind of going through and you're understanding the weaknesses. And the Bible says that Jesus had to be tempted so he could help those that are tempted. So you're going to need the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to get past some of these gifts, especially this gift of prophecy. Right? So we're going to turn to Jeremiah 14:14, just to read some more Bible verses to further understand this point. And it says here, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesying lies in my name, I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught in the deceit of their heart. Right? We're also going to turn to Jeremiah 23, 6:16. Right. And Jeremiah reads in verse 16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. So God gives these warnings because prophecy has a strong, what you call, convincing spirit behind it to believe that something is true.
Right?
So we need to understand how this gift of prophecy works in order for us to be able to know when we're in a correct prophecy and when we're not in the correct prophecy, right? And the first thing that you have to do when you understand the difference of a gift of prophecy and the difference for a gift of prophecy is when I was doing my search and when I was looking up the gifts of prophecy, looking in the message, doing searches, the prophet does mention gift of prophecy, but he also mentions a prophet with that as well to show you what the difference is between them. Right. And that kind of helps you to understand how this gift is to be used and what the difference is. Now, a prophet, which is a capital P, they're born a prophet.
Right.
That is someone that has been hand-selected by God through every single generation, through every single age, that a certain father and mother will come together and create this person, and he would be built in such a way that he would be a prophet.
Amen.
He would be someone that is built physically, because when Brother Branham, before he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the voice of God still spoke to him when he was a kid. He would hear things telling them not to drink and not to smoke. And that was God's gift. And just to show that it was born a gift, and it's not something that you just come into you just become a Christian. Oh, I want to become a prophet. That's not how it works. God creates you a certain way to be able to handle the word of the Lord and to hear the word of the Lord, right? The prophet said that the word of the Lord comes to the prophets, meaning that you can't correct a prophet. When a prophet says something, that's it. That's God's voice. That's God's mouth, right? So we're going to turn to the rapture, the message rapture 65:1-4, starting from paragraph 136. See, prophecy is a mighty, mighty thing. There has to be order to it. And it reads here in 136, now prophets, there's such a thing as gift of prophecy in the church. That's what God gives certain individuals in the church. They have a gift of prophecy. But a prophet is predestinated and foreordained, amen, not just coming anywhere, but for a specific hour, amen, which means Moses couldn't come to our day. Right. Brother Branham couldn't go to his day.
Right.
Noah couldn't go to Jesus' day.
Right.
Jesus couldn't go to Noah's day, right?
That's right.
They're born for a particular hour.
Yes.
See? Yes, sir. Now, if a prophecy goes forth, now he's talking about prophecy in the church.
Yes.
Two or three has to set and judge whether that's right or not. It's no different than speaking in tongues, where you got to make sure that if someone's speaking in a tongue, you got to make sure that thing lines up with the word.
Amen.
There has to be an interpretation that lines up with the words.
Right.
And this gift of prophecy that comes into the church that some of you may have, it has to be judged. Two or three
Amen.
People have to judge that to make sure that is thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And the prophet says here whether that is right or not before the church can receive it. So before we even receive a prophecy, we have to make sure that it's right. Verse in paragraph 137 says, but nobody set before prophet, because he was absolutely the word of God. He was he was that word in his day. You've seen God reflect. Now God has promised to send that again in the last days to bring the bride out of the ecclesiastic mess, and the only way it can be done. And the reason why he said that, because he says in the next paragraph, we'll just read the first sentence, it'll never be done. The church can't receive Christ, because during the time when the gifts were being restored, the gift of prophecy was there,
mm-hmm,
but it still didn't bring them back to the true word.
Right.
God had to raise up an individual,
Amen,
right, hand-selected, to be able to bring the fullness of the word while the gifts are being restored,
yes,
as well.
Brother.
Right.
Yes.
So that's why we believe in the gift of prophecies, but
yes,
there's a place that you still have and you have to follow in order for it to be received.
Praise God.
Right. Let's see where we're at. Okay. So the gift of prophecy has to be judged by two or three before it's received, and the prophet doesn't have that limitation, right?
Right.
What he says is what he says,
yes,
is thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And what we're going to do is we're going to see in the Bible how we have to be careful about this gift of prophecy, and even for people that come into the church with gifts as well, you have to kind of be careful about that. So we're going to turn to Numbers 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. All right, and it reads, and Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, and notice the attitude, because you have to remember here that Aaron was a priest, but he also was kind of a representation of a prophet, because when Moses told God that, hey, I'm not an elegant speaker, he said, okay, fine then. You'll be God, Aaron will be your prophet.
Right,
so Aaron kind of represented a prophet,
right,
and then also Miriam was a prophetess as well, right?
Exactly.
So they knew the gifts that they had,
yes,
but you have to be careful about it, because look at the attitude here. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Bible says, and the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were on the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses. Now here's God speaking directly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. It should have been that God speaks to Moses and then Moses speaks to the people. Right? It says, come out ye there unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out, and the Lord came down the pillar and the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. So you can imagine how they felt that God is now descending into a cloud, and now he's coming to church to speak to them. And called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you. Now, this isn't a major prophet, right? This is not a major prophet. I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. And I like how it says dream, because we're going to get to that later, because some of you have the ability to dream.
Right.
And Brother Jack, as Brother Jack has said, when a dream has been interpreted, it becomes a vision,
yes,
and it is a prophecy, if it's telling of something to come. So this is God telling, like, you know, I'll deal with you guys in visions and dreams.
Mm.
Verse 7 says, my servant Moses is not so,
Amen,
who is faithful in all mine house.
Right.
With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And what I believe that dark speeches is, you can have a dream and not really understand what it is.
Right.
And it seems like, man, this thing is just confusing. You need someone to come and interpret it. which we'll get to that later on. Yes. Or you can receive a word from the Lord. Just, man, I just don't understand what this thing is. I just got to pray about it. Or I got to fast about it to really get clarification.
Right.
But when God speaks to a prophet, it's clear as day.
Amen.
There's no need for interpretation. There's no need to go and fast about it. God speaks the word, and that is the word for the day.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Right? So we have to really understand how these gifts operate in the church. And we're also going to turn to Numbers 16 just to read some more about this order of the gift. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. It says here, now Korah, so Korah was a priest as well. It says, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, and men of renown. And so one thing you have to realize about these gifts, especially, you know, gifts of prophecy, people love to make themselves famous with it. If you go on Instagram and you'll see Prophet Michael or Prophetess Angela, you know, with a word for the day. And everybody wants to be famous with it. Everybody wants to have renown, use their gift to have renown with it.
Wow.
But God doesn't operate in those things.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that they don't have a genuine gift.
Oh my.
They have a genuine gift.
Amen.
But there has to be an order to it.
Amen.
So verse 3 says, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. And the prophet said, he was right. When Korah has said that, what he was saying was right. The congregation is holy, right? Because it's a holy God. It's not holy people, but it's a holy God in individuals. But there's still an order of things that you have to follow. And it says, wherefore then lift ye yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And that's where the problem came. Because God had designated Moses as the head man. And so when these gifts get to operating, because what you'll see later down is what it did was it split the congregation, right? And so when these gifts begin to operate in the church, we have to be careful about how they're operating, especially gifts of prophecy and stuff like that, because that's how the churches get split in half. And one of the things that I like about the true leadership, because whenever you see someone trying to divide a church, that right there, that birth of the idea, when something is born wrong, it can't be right.
Amen.
And so when your intentions is to split a church and you don't care about nothing else, it is not going to be right. But when the congregation has split themselves and God said, I'm going to go and destroy everybody, Moses, who had been birthed from the right way of starting a church, said, no, should one person sin and everybody else perish? And he stood in the gap. And God said, okay, go over to the church, tell them people to come on your side because I'm about to do something to these people. Right? Korah and them didn't care about none about that. He didn't care if they perish and everybody else perish. And that's how you can tell if something is birthright. So that's why you have to be careful about these gifts that can rise up in the church, even though they're genuine gifts. And I'm going to turn to the Laodicean church age. It's not up there. I couldn't find the paragraphs associated with it, but I wanted just to read through a section here. It says, Brother Branham says, before we close this section on the messenger of the Laodicean age, we must seriously consider these two thoughts. First, this age will have one prophet messenger. Revelation 10:7 says, when he singular shall begin to sound, there has never been an age where God gave his people two major prophets at one time.
Yeah.
Right? So having a gift of prophecy doesn't make you in charge. So that's why I was kind of skeptical when this lady prayed over me when she called herself a minister. I said, oh, wow. You know, because gifts can cause people to get themselves out of place. You know, then you have a female that can have an honest gift of prophecy.
Yeah.
Females can have, the Bible says there are prophetess. They can have gifts of prophecy, right? But when you elevate yourself into a ministry position that's held for a particular position, you're out of order. And it's the same for this day when you have people that may be prophets, and then you try to elevate yourself of the prophet of the day and try to replace what he said with what he did not say.
That's right.
There has never been, and I'm not saying that people are not prophets that have gifts. I believe they're genuine gifts, but they're just not operating in place. We want prophecy to operate in order, right? So there's there has never been an age where God gave his people two major prophets at one time.
Amen.
He gave Enoch alone. He gave Noah alone. He gave Moses. And this is the one we want to talk about. He gave Moses. He alone hath the word, though others prophesy. So we're not taking away prophecy. We want the prophecies to come. They just have to line up with the word for the day. So you can't be prophesying saying, hey, I saw all of us at Ruby Tuesday fellowship and drinking alcohol, you know, having a good old time in the name of the Lord. When the prophet said, you ain't supposed to be drinking alcohol.
Amen.
That wouldn't be a prophecy that we will follow, right? So prophecies, the prophecies are supposed to work with the word. When you receive a prophecy, you have a gift of prophecy, it's supposed to work with the word so that we know it's something that we can stand on. And another thing that we kind of want to look at is because now we live in a day and age where the prophet is no longer here, right? And a lot of times people can get very reminiscence of the times they had when the prophet was here and they, you know, how they wished he was here. And I know that there are certain instances where people will experience that they're going through something, right? And they'll play a tape of, and Brother Brandon will be in a prayer line and they'll hear while he's praying over someone, he'll pray out their condition and speak their condition.
Right.
And I believe that's well and fine and that can happen.
Amen.
But if you don't hear nothing, don't think that a word of prophecy still can't come over for your position when you come to church.
Amen.
That's why God placed the gift of prophecy in the church. So that because God realized that sometimes when you're going through a situation, you need a particular avenue to hear the word. And that's why you have the gifts come through faith. You have gifts come through healing. Gifts come through the ministry. And then the gift of prophecy. God knows that for a particular situation or particular challenge, you'll need a particular gift. And some people, you know, when they're going through, you'll need a gift of prophecy in order to get you through. And we're going to read about that a little bit later on down the word, right? So you don't question the prophet for your day, right? You have a gift of prophecy. We judge them by the church. The end time, it talks about how these false prophets would try to deceive us. So the other thing that makes a prophet different from a gift of prophecy is the way that they see prophecy, right? So we're going to turn to the message, Sirs, Be of a Good Cheer, preached in 54. And paragraph 29 through 31. And I'll just start reading. So it says, now on this subconscious, when this outer conscious becomes active. So he's talking about the subconscious. So basically you have a conscious. Every one of us are conscious right now because we're seeing everybody and we're perceiving everything. And then you have this subconscious that is also in the back of your head. Right. So now on the subconscious, when this outer conscious becomes inactive, this conscious becomes active to a dreamer. Now, let's give just a little illustration. Here's the first conscious. Here's a normal man, his subconscious. When this one is active, inactive at night, when he's asleep, then this one's active. So what he's saying is that while you're awake, your conscious is active and you're able to perceive and see things and experience the real world. But when you're asleep, your subconscious then takes over. Right. And that's why some people can see dreams and have dreams that are very, very vivid where they actually feel stuff because it's the subconscious working.
Right.
And the prophet said, many of you people that dreamed dreams years ago, you still remember it, don't you? And I like how it ties in this dream because we're going to get to the dreams as being kind of a gift as well for some people. It says, well, there was some part of you somewhere because after you're awake, you remember what you dreamed of. Is that right? And sometime when you're dreaming, you dream of things that you did when you was conscious. Is that right?
Yeah.
But now the man that doesn't dream a dream, so people that don't dream, his subconscious is way back. Even an aesthetic wouldn't throw him back there because he sleeps real sound.
That's
so
right.
If you sleep in real sound, you're probably not a dreamer.
That's right.
Right? If you're going to bed and you're having a real good night's sleep, you're probably not no dreamer, right?
Amen.
So, and it says, now a dreamer doesn't sleep sound. He's not altogether asleep. And so I don't know if anyone here has experienced there's a concept out there called sleep paralysis. And sleep paralysis, if you go online and you read of what it is, sleep paralysis is when you're in a state when you're asleep but you're not asleep. And what people describe it as is that your body is in a state where you're frozen, you can't move. And a lot of people, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, but a lot of people see some crazy stuff in those sleep paralysis. I remember I was online and I was reading through, and some people, one person had saw this woman that was running toward him screaming, and another person that saw like a dark figure that was by the kitchen or something. So people see some really scary things because they're kind of perceiving another dimension, right? So that's what he's kind of talk about when he's saying when you dream dreams and you're kind of conscious of what you remember, because while you were dreaming, you actually remembered and saw what you had saw. It's not something you made up in your mind, right? So now in paragraph 30, now, but a seer or a prophet, now I'll admit there's a gift of prophecy that goes into the church, but that's not a prophet. Right. A prophet's born, see? Now he must be from childhood up and every word right, see? Now the seer, his subconscious is not back by the wall, neither is it here. It's right here. They're both together. So a prophet is born with his conscious and his conscious and his subconscious are together. All of us, our subconscious and our conscious is separated. We, in order for us to dream things, we have to go to sleep, yeah. Right? But the prophet, his subconscious and conscious is together, right? Yes. That's what makes him different. You see what I'm saying? No one can impersonate that. You can't. You have to be born that way, right? God has to select certain genes in order for that thing to be activated, for you to be called a prophet of the day. Right. So it's not even about the word you bring, even though that's important. It's about how you're born and how God made you. That's how God selects the person for their day. Right? Amen. The messenger for their day, right? So he says, it's right here. They're both right together. He doesn't go to sleep. He just breaks from one to another. See, it's like a dream, yet you're conscious. You're standing here, yet it's just like you was dreaming something, and yet you're conscious enough that you can talk about it, and you know your voice is coming back in the building, yet you're somewhere else. Here's another key part. Maybe 30, 40 years back or forward or wherever it would be. So that's why we can trust people that have this gift. And Brother Jack had talked about, you know, when Moses wrote the book of Genesis, he was not there, but provided so much detail of what happened, right? And how did he get that detail? He had a vision, and he exactly saw what happens. And the problem with man is that when man reads the Bible and gets an interpretation, they don't see anything. So it's kind of like when you go to court, and let's say you have a man that you have two people on the side. You have a man that has stole something or allegedly stole something and so on. And his lawyer is saying, no, he didn't steal anything. And you have another lawyer over here saying, no, he did steal something, right? And so they're just going back and forth. And this lawyer that's trying to defend the thief is saying, you know, the people say, you know, people saw he was wearing a red shirt and he stole these things. He said, well, there was probably a lot of people in the store wearing a red shirt. And so he's doing everything he can to defend him. And they're just going back and forth. And finally, someone pulls up video evidence. Now, when the video was played and they see your face stealing something, the argument is over. Amen. And that's what a vision is like from a prophet. When they see something, it's no longer just something they're making up or they're trying to theorize or they're trying to hypothesize about. No, they saw what happened. Right. So when you look at a lot of denominations today, and I've been to this, at my old church, we went to this play called Sights and Sounds, and they did the play of Jonah. And so when Jonah was ready to get swallowed up, they had this big old whale out there, and he was in the belly of a big old whale. But when Moses had a vision, he saw a fish. He didn't see a whale. So you see how people can interpret the wrong thing when they read it. But Moses, it wasn't some theory to him. He saw Jonah in a fish and said, hey, Jonah was in a fish, right? So they see these things as clear as day, which gives them confidence. And that's why Brother Branham, when he would break out in vision, just to show people that it wasn't something he was making up, he would give a description of you to a T. He says, you're wearing white socks, pink shoes. I see you in a blue blouse. It's sunny outside, but it looks like it's about to rain over there. There's a deer in the back. The dog is barking. You're right, because he's right there just seeing as these things happen. And that's how we can have confidence that, you know, for your situation. And even it's still the same for a word of prophecy. When someone in the church gives you an inspired, and that's why I like the definitions, it's inspired. It's not something they're making up. When someone gives you an inspired word that your situation is taken care of, you can rest just as much as if it was a vision that the prophet had given you. Right? God's already seen the victory, and you can rest in that. Right? And so we're going to go now to this this concept of dreams as a form of prophecy, right? Because Brother Jack has said when a dream is interpreted correctly, it becomes a vision. Now, dreams have to be judged as well. So we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 41 and read a couple of verses in here. And we're going to read verse 8. And it says, and it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. So they're talking about the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh had a dream, and this dream had troubled him. And his spirit was troubled, the Pharaoh, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them this dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Right. So and that kind of goes back to when God was telling Miriam and them that, you know, when I talk to prophets, I don't talk in dark sayings or things that like you don't understand and you're troubled and you need some kind of help to understand what this thing is. Mm-hmm. So this dream of Pharaoh, he was troubled by it, but he didn't understand what it was. So turning to verse 15 and verse 16, I want you to see the attitude of Joseph. Because this is the kind of people that we want operating a gift. That's why you don't just want to have a gift. You want to have character that goes with a gift. Because that'll make sure that the church is running smooth, right? So it says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret them. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So here is Joseph not trying to puff himself up, but turning it back to God. And that's what we try to do. So even when you have a dream, and that's why, and this is me personally, I believe if you have a dream, it still has to be judged. Even if it was a prophecy, it still got to be judged. You can't just believe that thing and run with it. We need to take it back to God, right? Because I like that. I like the answer that Joseph said, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. God will let you know if this thing is real or not, and that'll settle it. Right? So gifts, dreams, prophecies always have to be judged. But if it's a prophet saying something, you don't have to worry about trying to interpret that or not interpret that. And so in this example of Joseph, he interpreted the dream of some turmoil that was coming into Egypt that exactly came to pass. And contrast that to Noah. When God told Noah of a turmoil that was going to come, God told Noah, and Noah saw it directly and told the people. There was no interpretation needed, no, hey, we need to pray and ask God, is this thing right that Noah gave us? No, that was the word of the Lord, and it came directly to pass, right? So the gift of prophecy is an utterance. It's an inspired utterance that has to be under the word of God. It has to be by the prophet. It has to be under, according to the word of the prophet. So you can't have a prophecy outside of the prophecy. That's how you'll fall away in the end time. And the Holy Spirit helps you to stay with the word for your day. Amen. And so what we want to do is we want to see this gift of prophecy and action in modern times in a very interesting situation. So we're going to turn to question and answers, number 3. It's 640830 and paragraph 221. Okay, and I'll just start reading it. And it says, and this is Brother Branham, because someone had asked a question. He said, this person said, dearly beloved, about the scripture of Ephesians 4:11 through 13, do we get all perfecting of saints through the tapes, or should we be here where the gifts of the Spirit are operating and the different offices of the church to help perfect us? Our hearts have believed all the word of the Lord. And that's the kind of the question. But I want to tell you what Brother Branham has says. And this is just in accordance to the gift of prophecy in the church. And this is his church. He says, and this is what he's referencing. He says, I think our brother Higginbotham, oh, here, everywhere he's at, he's got a gift of speaking in tongues. And we got our brother Junior Jackson with us, and he speaks with tongues. And then we got two or three of them interprets. Brother Neville here Also, our pastor speaks with tongues and sometimes prophesies, and the Lord brings upon him. Just the other day, he said something. He called upon a phone in a house where I was at that he prophesied over a person, told them that a drunken man would, there will be a great change in him right away, or something like that. And the man had come out of Alcohol Anonymous, which is a group that tries to help people to recover from becoming alcoholics. And Brother Brandon said he came out of Alcohol Anonymous, still an alcoholic. But after he received that prophecy, and it says, and for 68 days, hasn't even touched alcohol or no medicine for it or anything, that was Brother Neville prophesying over him. So you see how the gifts work with the prophet. The prophet didn't have to question that, like, oh, that sounds kind of iffy. No, he recognized that, okay, this is a gift of prophecy working in an individual. And, you know, he prophesied, and that thing came to pass. It lines up with the word. And I like this because this was in Brother Branham's church. And Brother Branham was able to identify who had the gift of prophecy. And if Brother Branham was able to do it, we should be able to do it. We should be able to identify who has the gift of prophecy in the church. We should be able to identify who has the gift of speaking in tongues and the gift of healing and the gift of knowledge. We should be able to identify those things. And, I mean, Brother Branham just said it like it was something that was, I mean, I want to say common, but normal. It wasn't like you were trying to achieve it. It was just, hey, this is what's in our church right now.
Right.
All right. So now we want to move on, and I know I don't have a lot of time left. But we want to move on to this this gift of discerning spirits, this is a very important one. So it says here in 1 Corinthians, I'm just going to read it. It says to another discerning of spirits, right? So discerning of spirits, and what that means is it's letting you know. What spirit you're dealing with when you're encountering a person or you're encountering a situation. It lets you know the spirit of the person that you're dealing with. And there's an emphasis on the word spirit. So it's not a gift of gossip and assumption. You're not assuming that somebody is doing wrong, or you're not assuming that someone is has done something wrong, or someone is living life or not a life, right? Just because you don't like someone, you know, or that doesn't mean that you can just go around and just speak bad about them, right? You know, you'll have people in the church, you know, they'll see someone that's in church, go out maybe on a Thursday, they drive behind a grocery store or whatever, and they see them smoking a cigarette, and all they're like, I always knew you was a demon. You know, I always knew you wasn't safe. I just had a feeling and just knew that. That's not what a gift of discernment is, right? That's not a gift. That actually shows you have the wrong spirit, because the prophet said when you see someone in the church going or dealing with something, you go and you pray for them, right? You go and you pray for them because you don't know what challenge or what trial or what thing that they're dealing with, right? So that's not a gift of discernment. A gift of discernment doesn't judge by the flesh. It judged by the spirit. So we're going to turn to, we're going to pull up the message, Discernment of Spirit, preached in 60, and we're going to read from paragraph 11. All right, so this is what the prophet said. It says, now we do have, and I think it's a good thing for us as ministers to follow our order. When we see such things in the world as we see today, and we have order from God, is for the discerning of spirits, trying the spirit. You're not even looking at the person. When you're trying the spirit or when you're discerning the spirit, you shouldn't even be looking at the person. You shouldn't be looking at their personality, their skin color, what clothes they got on. You're just looking at what spirit is in them, driving them to do whatever they're doing. It says, I believe that is a very great lesson for the church today, is to try the spirit of anything, have discernment of the spirit. I do not think that we should ever, by any means, ever try to judge a person by the denomination they belong to, or by the group that they are assembled with, whether they are Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, or whatever they are. We should never judge the man by the denomination that he belongs to. We should always judge him by the spirit that he has, the spirit, whether he's latter rain or former rain or inner, outer rain or no rain or whatever it might be. We should never judge him by that, but by his spirit. We are to discern spirits. Watch what the man has in his mind, what he has, what he's trying to achieve. If a man by a gift, no matter how great the gift is, So, and that kind of goes back to, you know, when you're looking at these gifts of prophecy that will operate in the church and the gift of healing, you always kind of want to discern the life of behind it, and you're not actually looking at the gift being performed, right? Because that'll take you off of the word if you're only focusing on the gift, amen. Right? So discernment can show you how one way discernment is used is to tell how something will stand the test of things. Right? So you're not a minister because you decide you want to be a minister.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
God has looked in you before you even knew what in the beginning the word was with God. Before you even looked in the Bible, God looked in your spirit and saw how well you would stand the test, right, and be able to speak the word. God saw that in you. Right, and when you're choosing someone to marry, right, it's God knows how that relationship will work out.
Amen.
Right,
amen.
The church that you choose to go to, God knows, right, how you would act with inside of that church.
Amen.
Because every church has its good things.
Yeah, that's right.
Every church has its problems.
Right.
And God knows how you would act during those bad times and if it will bring a disgrace to the church or not bring a disgrace to the church.
Amen.
Right? So discernment is used to tell how things would stand the test of time. We can see that in the choosing of King David, right? Samuel didn't use discernment when he was choosing the king. He looked at all the tall brothers, the strong ones, and said, man, this one's got to be the king, you know?
Yeah.
And God said, nope. He said, well, okay. And he told the next one to come out, big old muscles, biceps just popping out the shirt. Samuel's like, this got to be the king. He looked like he can throw down and just tear somebody up. God said, nope. And Samuel's like, what in the world? Like, okay. And he just went down the line. And Samuel said, is there anybody else that you got?
Exactly right.
And, yeah, we got this little old ruddy old fella out there. But he ain't no king. Trust me, he's not no king. Samuel said, look, God told me to come here and pick a king. I need to see him. And so they said, all right, David, come in here. And here come David. I mean, just a skinny little wimpy guy.
Right.
You would have never thought nothing of him. Just come in here. Hey, what's going on, Dad? And they just looked at him. And Samuel was like, okay, well, just pour the oil. Poured it over. And the oil just spilled and poured over.
Right.
It was God's discernment. God saw David's heart. God knew that when God would put David into a test that he wouldn't crack under the pressure.
Amen.
God knew he would stand
Amen.
On the word.
Right.
Right. And so that's why when you're going through your tests and battles, you don't even pick your tests and battles that you
Amen.
Go through.
That's exactly right.
God allows those battles to come to you.
Amen.
Don't never try to put yourself in a position where you're trying to fight a battle that God has not called you to.
Amen.
God knows you'll break under it. God
Amen.
Knows exactly what tests, what trials. God knows your limit. The Bible says he'll
yes,
never
he
give you more than you can handle.
Amen.
So when you put yourself in a position where you cannot handle it, God has already discerned you from the beginning if you would be able to handle this thing or not handle this thing, right?
Amen.
Right? God already saw that his brothers wouldn't be able to stand up to Goliath. And so we're going to read 1 Samuel 21 through 29 just to kind of go through that a little bit. Just the story of David right here, just to show how God could discern that this could be my king. So I'll just start reading. It says, verse 21, it says, for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of Philistines, and spake unto the same words, and David heard him. And this is why God could discern and knew that David was the one, because David now hears these words of what he's saying. In verse 24, it says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. That included David's brothers, as we're going to see. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man? Have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughters and make his father's house free of Israel. And it just goes to show you that incentives don't make you good for the job.
Wow.
So a lot of times people will try to pick a job like, oh, I want to be a lawyer. You know, they make like $200,000. I see him with a Ferrari, man. I see him with a three-story house. man, that is just, you know, he gets to work whenever he wants to work. And then they'll pick that job, and then when they get in the job, and they're dealing with the stress, and they're dealing with the problems, and it's daily, they all of a sudden, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore, right? You have to be built for a particular job. Pray and ask God for the job he gives you. He knows what you can handle. He knows what you can't handle. He knows how smart you'll be able to handle things or not. So, and it's not going to put you in a position where you feel like you're being crushed all the time, right? And so verse 26 says, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should divide the armies of the living God? And I like that in David because he didn't care about the riches. He didn't care about the daughter. All he cared about was, I see this guy that is mocking God and ain't nobody doing nothing about it. In his heart, he was just wanting to do a good job. He didn't have to be incentivized to do a good job, amen, right? And the people answered after this manner, saying, so shall it be done with the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, the one that was rejected, the one that when the prophet came up and said, this one has got to be the one. And God said, nope, not him. Well, why did he reject him? Because a lot of times the spirit of discernment, you have to understand, and we're going to get to that later, the spirit of discernment is not to hurt your feelings. It's not aimed at your flesh, but it's looking at the spirit. It's looking at the spirit of the thing, right? And Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left thou few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. So here we have Eli that was also afraid to fight. And God could discern that when he told Samuel, no, this one isn't the one. Because he then saw that when Goliath would come out there, he'd be hiding in a bush. But when he saw David, he said, oh, no, this is the one. This is the one. When he runs toward Goliath, he ain't going to hesitate and say, well, maybe I can do it or not. No, he ran right forward, to overcome. So God used that spirit of discernment to show him. God can use the spirit of discernment to show who is good for a job and who is not good for a job. Yes. Not only that spirit, and we're in closing in a little bit, not only can the spirit tell you how something will stand the test of time, but discernment can tell you why people deal with the troubles that they have. And the prophet had the spirit of discernment because you would come to the prophet with a problem. You say, hey, I'm dealing with this, and that, and this is that. Help me out. Right? But then the prophet, using the spirit of discernment, will say, hold on a second. That's not the whole picture. You got some other things that you're dealing with as well. Yes. And this is what's causing the issue. So the spirit of discernment doesn't just agree with things at face value. Amen. It looks at the spirit. Amen. And you can take an example of, you know, either a like a girl or a boy or a girl trying to, a girl that's constantly in, like, she's always complaining about being in wrong relationships. Like, man, I'm always getting the wrong guy. I'm always getting the wrong guy, no matter what. And she could be in her heart honest trying to get a good relationship. And if you take a man that knows the word and the spirit of discernment, he can look at what she's wearing and be able to discern why you are getting the wrong people.
That's right.
Why you're getting the wrong people.
Yes.
Because of what you're wearing and what you're attracting. Because the prophet said that a man filled with the Holy Ghost, which is the guy that you want, when he sees someone dressed like that, the Holy Ghost causes him to turn his head.
That's right.
So he can't even look at you.
Amen.
He can't even look for you, right?
Right.
So that spirit of discernment, and it's when you say that to somebody, it's not to hurt your feelings, right? They're not looking at your feelings. They're looking at the spirit that's causing you to dress or act a certain way, saying, hey, if you get rid of that spirit, things would be better for you,
amen,
right? And so we also know the spirit of discernment can be used to also tell the intentions of the heart. And this is the last thing we'll talk about. You know, the prophet, there was a story in the Bible. There was an incident where the prophet had went to a church and he saw in the church the gifts were coming down and people were speaking in tongues and people were interpreting tongues. And after the service, he went and talked to these people that had these gifts. And as he was talking to this one guy, he said, I was trying to catch a spirit like the woman at the well. He said, wow, this guy is a bona fide Christian, right? He's a Christian through and through. And then he went and talked to the other man, And as he talked to the other man, he realized, hold on a second. And the thing about it is he described the that I think he said that is his wife had black hair and the woman that he was cheating on had blonde hair, right? So that spirit of discernment came down there and kind of showed the intentions or the seed behind what was in the person, just as Jesus could look at the Pharisees and Sadducees and say, hey, you're of your father, right? Because he was able to discern that thing. And so you have to be careful with the spirit of discernment, because the spirit of discernment is to edify the church. It's not to pick on you. It's not to talk down on you or say that you're a bad person. It's looking at your spirit. And so if one of you in here has the spirit of discernment, you have to be very spiritual about it, right? Because you can't just look at stuff at face value. Because when Paul, or I'll say Saul, when God had selected Saul to be his end time messenger, and now God went over to these believers that were filled with the Holy Ghost. They said, hey, Saul, I'm sending Saul your way. I want you to baptize him. He's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He's going to do a work for me. They were like, hold on a second. I know you're not talking about this guy. This guy, Saul. Right? They were trying to look at the man's fruit. Right? They were trying to look at the man's fruit and say, no, this guy over here, he just persecutes Christians. He does this. He does that. He does this. So you have to be careful with the spirit of discernment. Because the spirit of discernment looks at the spirit of it of what it is. And I remember Brother Jerry had preached about this before, where he says that fruits are good and you look at fruits, but what somebody is the seed that's inside of him. And the seed is a potential. The seed isn't fruit yet, but is a potential. Right. And so that's why you have to use the spirit of discernment to see the actual seed inside the person. God saw that Paul would believe the word, 100% the word, even though he was not bearing fruits there. And that's why we need to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Brother Jack had talked about that, how the Holy Spirit comes for you to bear fruit. Without the Holy Spirit, yeah, you're a seed of God, but you ain't bearing any fruit. But with the Holy Spirit will come and bear fruit. So the spirit of discernment in the church to help us to discern spirits. And this gift has to be really relied upon when you begin to see prophecies coming forth and you got ministers preaching the word, to make sure that everything, all the motives and things are lined up so that the church doesn't get in disarray. So if you have if you do have the spirit of discernment, you have to say something. If you notice something that is going on, because a lot of times the problem is, if you don't have the spirit of discernment, you just get involved in the thing because you don't know what's going on. If you have the spirit of discernment and you see something going on and you're worried about something and you've prayed about it, you have to say something. If you don't say anything, it can be of detriment. Amen. All right? So we're going to say a prayer just in this service. Lord God, Lord, your word has come forth, O Lord God. Lord, we know that these gifts that you have given, O Lord God, are still in the church today. We know that, Lord God, that your word is true, O Lord Jesus Christ, and we're gathered here not of our own accord, O Lord Jesus Christ, but according to your leading and to your gathering and to your choosing, O Lord, your foreknowledge, O Lord God, saw us here, O Lord God. And you saw us here with a purpose, O Lord God. A lot of people have things that they're struggling with, oh Lord God. A lot of people have needs in their heart. They have sickness, oh Lord. Lord, they've been dealing with sickness for days and days and days, and they've been struggling, but yet they've still been holding on to your word, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you place these gifts in the church, oh Lord God, to be able to speak a word over someone's life, oh Lord God, to end the suffering, oh Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, your children, oh Lord God, they're holding on, oh Lord Jesus Christ. They're holding on to your word and they're praising you through the hard times. But Lord, help us, oh Lord God, to identify the gifts, oh Lord God. Lord, give the people the spiritual knowledge, oh Lord God, to know what they have, oh Lord Jesus Christ, that we can identify what these gifts are, oh Lord God, and that the church can be a healthy church, oh Lord God. The health of the church is dependent upon the gifts, not just the gifts, but the gifts used in order and in the correct way, O Lord Jesus Christ. That is what sustains and keeps the church healthy, O Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give us discernment, O Lord God. Give us the ability to recognize the gifts and to receive them, O Lord God. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. We thank the Lord for the word of God tonight. I thought Brother Quentin did an excellent job. Amen. With just talking about this, the spirit of prophecy. And, you know, there's a really, really good point that, no, and I think it goes back to a scripture in the book of Proverbs. I think we always kind of apply the scripture to just people preaching, but it's a scripture that actually applies to every gift, because the scripture says a man's gift will make room for itself. And whether God has given you a gift of prophecy, a gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, whatever, and just like a prophet is born that way, I believe God gives people, you know, gifts at birth. They come without repentance. But you never have to push your gift. And I love how he brought in the scripture of Dathan and Korah. They were gifted people, but they were not concerned about breaking up a church. I mean, and I'm going to just be honest with you. If you see a gift like that come, run. If you get a person that will come in with a gift and you know they're gifted, but they're not concerned with breaking up a church, and because if the motive is, if the objective is, I'm gonna try to start my own thing, right? But I gotta break this up in order to start my own thing. Something wrong somewhere with that. I'm just being honest with you. I can tell you this much: when Spirit and Truth started, it wasn't us breaking up nobody other church. We didn't do that to get started here at Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. And most of the people, most of your saints, especially some of the original saints, y'all know I didn't do no pulling on nobody. I didn't do that. God had to lead people, you know, to this church. And when God led them, they knew where they were supposed to be, and God has proven himself to them. Right, but I'm telling you the truth. We you never want to be found guilty of taking your gift to use it to divide. I'm gonna tell you where that gift come from. It come from hell, right? And Satan was a gifted individual, was he not? Satan was very gifted in the music program. I think he was probably directing the choir. Amen. They were having nights of worship. Hello, somebody. Right? And he had them just going. And next thing you know, he just got tired of them giving all the glory to God. And he wanted some of that praise himself. Right? And oftentimes what happens if you get too gifted, oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus, help me, God. You want your name called from the pulpit all the time. We want to thank God for Sister So-and-so being in our midst. And God has gifted her. And go ahead and do what you do. You got to watch things like that. I'm telling you the truth. But if you don't have any feeling for people and wanting to see people stay together and all that, something's wrong with your gift. And anytime a church is built like that, like Dathan and Korah did, it don't last. It don't last. Another thing about, you know, he talked about the spirit of prophecy versus being a prophet. Brother Branham was born a prophet. If somebody has the spirit of prophecy on them, now there's another quote Brother Branham said, that spirit of prophecy can go from one person to the next person inside the church. But if you get a person with the spirit of prophecy on them, and maybe something they say come to pass, and maybe another thing they say come to pass, and maybe another thing they say come to pass. But if they come to the point where they're trying to replace Brother Branham, y'all just run away from that. Because we got to know that this is a body work. We all have to work together. And Brother Branham had a very specific purpose, and each one of us have a very specific purpose. But we work together for the kingdom of God. So anybody trying to say, well, I got something that the Lord showed me that, no, God ain't show you nothing. Remember the scripture, Revelation 10:7, that all the mysteries will be revealed to the seventh angel. Now, where you fit in there? Amen. Where you fit in there? Because we know who the seventh angel was. And ain't no, you cannot tell me that there were some mysteries left that were not taken care of. Otherwise, the word of God is broken right there. So we're not looking for anybody to come with anything else. And I'm going to tell you another thing. I'm going to just be honest with you. If you prophesying about the coming of the Lord, it's supposed to happen at a certain time, and it ain't happened at the time that you said it was going to happen, we cannot hear your prophecies. Amen. We can't do it, right? Because this thing has got to hit every time. We don't want to play games in this area. We want to be real with God. We want to be. I believe this has been restored back to the church, and I believe this is the season for it to go forth, but it must be done correctly. I've been thinking and, you know, just processing this. I will restore, saith the Lord, and I just keep thinking in my mind, the Pentecostals should be coming to our church to see things done correctly. And just that's something I feel. The Pentecostals should be coming to our church to see things done correctly. I'm believing God for that. Amen. Praise God. Let me get tonight's announcements. And I did want to thank the Lord. I'm sorry the name slips me, but I know this is a pastor and his family from Hialeah. Homestead. What's your name, brother? Anodo. Anofo. Okay, brother Anofo. Good to have you all with us, amen, on tonight. God bless you. I know brother Kweku and brother Josue, they went down a few weeks ago there to be in fellowship with the saints there and in Homestead, and they I know that we got to pray for some of our youth that'll be going to the Bethel Youth Camp there in South Carolina, and I know that the daughter's going there. So it's good to have them, amen, in fellowship and everything tonight. So let's just go through the announcements here, and then we will have just a little time for testimonies, and then we'll say a word of prayer and we'll depart. Sunday morning prayer from 9 to 10 here in at church, and then service will start at 10:30. Sunday school is 9:30 to 10 in our youth and young adult classes, and then streaming continues through our church website as well as our Facebook SAT Tabernacle. And one of the upcoming events, Friday, October 25th, Brother Trevor will be here. Brother Trevor Eamon will be here speaking for us, and then also he'll be here on Sunday morning, October 27th. So we're looking forward to having Brother Trevor, amen, with us. Our giving is in multiple ways. We have online giving, the preferred, and we might have to put that word up there underneath Zelle. But preferred is Zelle because they don't take any fees. That's giving at john423.org. PayPal and Cash App, we can take giving through there, but they do take fees, so we ask that you use Zelle. If you use PayPal, it's giving at john423.org as well. And Cash App is $SpiritandTruthT. We also have our mailbox there, our P.O. box that you can send things, your mail to, your giving to if you want to, those that are online and those that are inside the house of the Lord. There's a box on the very back table. As you are exiting, you can just drop your offering in that box, amen, as you leave. Anything else coming up? All right. Do we have any... okay, praise reports, prayer requests. We got a couple, and I will first say that I want to thank the Lord for taking me and Brother Quentin away. We went last weekend to Brother Mike Walls there in Virginia. It's a church that Brother Quentin used to attend, and our first time there. And I tell you the truth, we had a wonderful time, you know, there in service. And we just thank God for just taking us there, bringing us back safely, and just, you know, meeting, you know, just meeting us in a special way. And if, you know, we get a chance to go back again, that is one church I would love to take some of our saints to. I think y'all would really, really enjoy yourself. It was just a real good atmosphere. The Lord has just blessed them with a new building. They've been ministering there in that area for 32 years. and just been going from place to place. The pastor showed us some of the places that they had worshiped in. And one specific place they had was a church, a Seventh-day Adventist church that they were worshiping in. And recently, I want to say within the past 2 years, a new pastor came into that church and told them, y'all too big to be here, and we don't want y'all here no more. Y'all got to find somewhere else to go. And even the pastor told them, so we need a group that we can control, and we can't control y'all, all right? So they kicked them out the church, and they ended up going to a school and worshiping, and then the Lord just provided a place for them to purchase. And, you know, they went in, they saw this place. It was a church that had in like a warehouse district. And a Pentecostal group had the church, and they got down to about 8 members. And this place could seat maybe about 250 people. And they got down to about 8 members, and they said, you know, we just need to sell this because, you know, this nothing really happening. So I think the church showed up on the market. It was on the market for about 2 hours. They went, they saw it, and then they said, we want to come back tomorrow. When they came back, there was like 2 other groups wanting to come see it. And one group was Muslim. And so, you know, they put in the offer, then the Muslims put in a higher offer. Then they put in an offer, then the Muslims put in a higher offer. And they were just, and they got to the point where they could not offer any more than what they could. So they felt led to write a letter to the pastor of the church and say, look, we've been 32 years in ministry and just waiting on the Lord to open up a door for us. And we really feel like we found a place, but we just cannot compete with the offers that keep going. This is as much as we can give, and we just pray y'all consider it. Said when they wrote the letter, that touched the people's heart, and they said, we're not going to take the higher offer. We're going to give it to y'all because we want a church to have this, not turn it into a mosque, right? So the Lord blessed them with this building, and I tell you, it is so nice. I said, I'm leaving here encouraged, and I feel like, amen, just letting the devil know we next. We're next, so we thank God for, amen, what the Lord has done for them. Amen. We got a hand up here. Anybody else need to? Okay, all right, we'll get around. We got a couple hands. All right, praise the Lord.
Just a testimony from last week with the hurricane. So the place I live at, so a tornado actually hit around our backyard, and it only took down, like, 2 trees, didn't do too much damage, and it took down like a couple of fruit trees. But in the next door's neighbor, it flipped their whole trailer over, turned it into the canal, ripped their whole water system out, and then the person behind us, the person behind them, ripped some of the roof off. And then as you go to the neighborhood, big trees were uprooted. But in our little place that we live at, that's the only thing that was done. No damage to the house, and the Lord just protected us, because that's literally the tornado came through the backyard. You could see where it came from, and it didn't do any damage to the house. And so just praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Praise God.
God bless. A couple of weeks ago, I asked for prayer for a young man that came to my job that was 24 years old. He passed away, and his family is actually going through a lot. They was getting ready to celebrate his birthday. So instead of them celebrating his birthday, they getting ready to bury him. So just keep the parents of the family in prayer.
Just want to piggyback off what Sister Verna said. Come to find out, that young man, Dante, is my bonus son, Terrence's nephew. His sister, April, that's her child. It's a first child, and the family is really going through quite a bit right now. So we ask him for prayer.
Anybody else?
Just want to give God praise also for the storm. I was out a couple of nights late trying to get water and gas like everybody else. And so I would get home late, and I didn't have time to get the things in the yard. So on Wednesday, when they let us go home early, Ashley had to work, and I wasn't able to get the things in the house with her help, so I had to do everything by myself. And it started to rain, and I'm like, Lord, I need you to hold up this rain so I can get these things in. It drizzled a couple times, like, Lord, I need a few more minutes, I'm not done. Stop. I mean, it did this on and off for several times, and I'm like, no, I'm not done yet, Lord. I need just a few more minutes. And I tell you, I was out there for about 2.5 hours. And then Ashley came home and helped like the last 30 minutes, and after we finished, got in the house, and it started raining. So, and God has done that for me several times since I've been at that location, and I just thank him for that.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Any other praise reports, prayer requests? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Amen. Father, we thank you that we can come to you and know that you are ever-present help in the time of trouble. We hear the testimonies, Lord, of how you watched over us through the storm. It could have been a whole different story. But God, you proved that it shall not come nigh our dwelling. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come nigh our dwelling. Thank you, Father, for your promised word. Thank you for sustaining us and just, Lord, just watching over us. And it was unprecedented, some of the things that they reported. But God, you proved faithful. Once again, you always do it over and over again. So God, we're just so grateful for that. And we do want to remember those that are suffering, those that have lost houses and they've lost cars, and God, even some families there where life is lost. We pray that you would just sustain and help the people and even help us to minister to those that might be in need. Father, this family that's lost, this young man, very young, we know that you don't make mistakes. We know that you have purpose in everything that you do, but we pray that you will undergird each and every one of them. We realize that sometimes in order for someone to live, something else has to die. So God, we pray that life would come out of this, that someone would come to know Christ as their Savior. May they be reminded that, Lord, we don't know when we're going to be called out of this world, so we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. And I just pray, Father, that you would just help them, Father, through this time. Lord, we thank you for our precious brother and his family that's come all the way down from Homestead. We pray traveling mercies upon them as they would go back. And some of the saints that are getting ready to get on the road tonight to head up to South Carolina for the youth meetings, we pray that you would be with them. And God, may the young people that are in attendance, may the Spirit of God move in a very special way for them. God, that their lives would be changed. They'd be in the right atmosphere, in the right environment where you could do something mighty for each and every one of them. Lord, bless Brother Jason and his church, Lord, and all that they're putting out to make these meetings what it is. Give back to them 100-fold, Lord, is our prayer. And may you, Lord, just continue to use them for your glory and for your honor. Father, we're careful to give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God richly bless you. Amen. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you.